Well, you've ruined the conversation, Nick.
Sorry. My bad.
Well, how about we start the show and get everything going?
Yeah,
and-
yeah, let's do it.
Hello, welcome to Tech It or Leave It, brought to you by GoDaddy.com. They sell .com domain names, you know. And if you use the offer code LEAVE129, then you can get a .com domain name for just £1.29 or $1.99 if you're an American and need dollars and stuff. And you can even use the offer code LEAVE30, that's LEAVE30, and get 30% off your offer of new off your order of new products, including all those new weird top-level domain names. And Office 365 and other stuff like that too. We've got a full house today.
Yes.
Because I think everybody wants to talk about the iPhone and the watch.
Who? Wait, what happened?
Yeah. This is...
No, seriously, what happened? Because the live stream didn't work.
Have you not seen it yet, Nick? You've had plenty of time.
I haven't seen it. The only time I had to watch it was live, and... the stream did not work at all.
Oh, right. Have you genuinely not seen it?
I only read articles. I've not seen it yet.
It's a good one. It really is a good one.
I will watch it.
Well worth a watch. Tim Cook's iPhone moment and all that sort of thing.
Hmm.
It's ever so good. So we'll start at the beginning and work our way through.
I wasn't sure if you wanted to do the phone last or first. So
let's do the phone first.
Apple did, so why not?
That's the order I want to do it in.
All right.
I should have done this before we started. I've only got the three page of the phone. I should have the big Apple page. Have they recently updated the Apple website in terms of its design? Because I felt like they did that during the keynote. I could be wrong.
That was the first time I saw this new top menu.
Yeah.
Certainly.
So we have the iPhone 6, bigger than bigger. I'm not sure I like that.
But it's slimmer, and it's got Retina HD and all that, so, and better battery life.
I actually haven't seen the battery life yet. So
no, I haven't.
So this is the beginning of the iPhone. You can't really get a new little one anymore. You can still get the 5S, which is little, and the 5C, which is very little. But that's it. We're only going to have big iPhones now.
I heard something the other day, just slightly off topic, about the iPhone. The reason the iPhone 5C is continuing is because it's the iPhone 5 model that supports all the different LTE bands.
Possibly.
Hmm.
Because the original iPhone 5 didn't.
No, it didn't. It was a pain in the ass, that. That was partly why I wanted to upgrade from a 5 to a 5S. Because the 5 didn't support the bands of 4G that 3 use. So although it was technically a 4G phone, not on my network.
Mm.
So I upgrade. That was the one cause.
Which is odd, because Rochelle has a 5, and she's started seeing 4G pop up every now and then. On 3.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Maybe I had no good reason to upgrade.
I think Vodafone and O2 weren't supported, but EE and 3 were.
Right. I wasn't getting it, and it wasn't listed on their list of 4G compatible phones at the time. Maybe things have changed, and maybe it goes area by area. Or whatever. But... yeah. I'm kind of surprised that, you know, just starting off at the low end, that the 5C didn't become the 5SC. You know, I'm also kind of gutted that the 6 wasn't available in a variety of actual colors.
Well, there's only 3 so far.
There's only going to be 3.
Really?
Yeah. Silver, gold, and black. And this time I kind of want the silver one.
Oh, instead of the gold one?
Space gray. Because it sounds cool.
Alison likes the space grey. Do you know, we're really actually pathetic enough that stuff needs to match.
Oh, really?
And
we don't want things to match in our house, because then we'll know which phone is ours.
Oh, no, we don't match each
Zoe
other.
Yeah, Zoe has the white one, I have the black one.
Yeah.
We do the same thing, but I mean, within our own product
line. Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah.
They have to match. Yeah.
My iPad Air has to be the same colour as my phone.
Exactly. Yeah. I can't go out and get myself a black iPhone. That goes with nothing. Whereas the silver or gold one, that's kind of all right.
Here I am, the female on the show, and you guys are talking about color coordinating. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's modern day. We're with it.
We're men of the future.
I wouldn't say we were on fashion, but we're with it.
Everyone's allowed to color coordinate.
Yeah.
I think it's a gorgeous looking thing. This new phone. It's really nice. The renders, I know we had a lot of sort of renders and people trying to make their own one and that sort of thing beforehand, but I don't think any of them really did it justice. It's gorgeous. I especially like the curved edges because we're getting lots of off-screen gestures and that sort of thing. So I imagine they'll feel a lot nicer to do on this. Because the 5S is a bit
clunky,
harshly edged.
Well, I was going to say it looks kind of like a brick.
It does now.
It's funny how they go through phases of curvatures, straight edges, and then back to curvatures again.
Well, I've said it before, it's Detroit styling. It's the same way a car, every year, you'll have a slight change to the design, something visible, so everyone will know you've got the old one.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that drives you to want the new one.
I'm kind of ashamed that it works on me. You're absolutely right, that is part of it, and it works on me. It really does. I'm a bit gutted I'm having to wait for this phone.
Are you?
Yeah. The next contract that I have that expires runs out in January. And it's kind of just I got it added up in terms of what would it cost me to get the phone now, and it's just a bit too much money. I need to wait sort of 2 or 3 months and get closer to January. I'm obviously not going to wait until January.
Closer to January.
But just get closer. I'm sort of saying...
I'm having to wait as well. I mean, they're not going to let me have it until quite late in the afternoon on Friday.
Oh, shut up.
Oh,
really? So I could be the first one. Actually, I say that. I'm not going to be the first one because it's not my phone. It's Shell's phone that is being picked up on the day, on the morning of.
That's just upsetting. I'm just jealous, really.
It kind of is. Kind of is.
I mean, I'll be stopping into the store in the morning on the way to work, and if they've got it there, then I'll have it all day. But if they haven't, I'll have to come and get it at the end of the day.
Oh.
It's just unacceptable.
Life is hard.
It really is.
Life is hard. Are you getting your SIM free, Simon?
Yes.
I just wondered if that had made a difference to availability or anything.
I don't
think
so.
Right. Do you know what? I haven't heard anything about problems with availability. The three shop that I went into yesterday to pre-order Michelle's, they said it was only the second pre-order they'd had.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Because their website went down immediately.
It did.
Yeah, it did.
It did. There was a nice little page that said, "You're in a queue."
Yeah, I was on it. Just trying to get
but
the
that
price.
That was in-store pre-order. The only maybe people are just upgrading, like online, because you can upgrade from your phone as well from the Apple Store app. That's the word I was looking for. On whatever network you want, you can do it there. So maybe people just aren't going into stores.
Maybe so.
I don't think Simon heard that I might actually be getting an iPhone when my contract resets. So
we've converted, Jen.
Yes.
I think you've made the right choice. Although I think the audience is going to be really annoyed that we keep turning Android-owning hosts into iPhone-owning hosts.
Yeah.
Do you remember when I used to have Android phones?
You still do.
And were militant about it.
Yeah. Wow. It's weird.
You were very defensive of them.
I know. It feels otherworldly when I think about it now. It's like it wasn't really me. I used to think they were good, and then I used this, and it's amazing, and I can't wait for iOS 8. That's going to be Wednesday, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Exciting. Really is. So we have the 6 and the 6 Plus. The 6 is really big. The 6 Plus is obscenely big. We've got a 4.7-inch Retina HD display, an A8 processor, a slightly better camera, slightly better Touch ID fingerprint sensor, I would imagine, and slightly longer battery life, etc. Aside from the screen size, there's nothing too dramatically changed about the 6, is there?
The 6 has a better contrast ratio than the 6 Plus.
Mm-hmm.
Arguably very, very slightly, though.
still enough.
You've also got... Go ahead.
You've got the A8 and the M8. They're fairly significant differences.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I just mean in terms
you've got
of
the new
sort of
processor and the new motion processor.
All I'm saying is I could have told you with 100% certainty that would have been in there. And next year there will be an A9 with a M9 coprocessor and a slightly better camera. These are just the things that definitely get upgraded every time there's a new phone. If they brought iPhone 6S and it still had an A8 processor, people would lose their shit.
I find it interesting that they don't say what's so different about the camera on this.
Okay, what I have on my screen, I was reading. Okay, the new iPhone boasts improved cameras, so they start with the same 8 megapixel with the f2.2 aperture, but the sensor has been upgraded with a special focus pixels phase detection.
Yeah, they were very specific about the improvements.
It was I couldn't figure it out when he was talking about it, but I'm reading here. Yeah, they're explaining it a little bit better. Yes, yeah, better focus capability.
Okay.
Put it this way, it's a similar system to the autofocus in my SLR, which is a couple of £1,000 worth of camera.
Yeah.
It's a very high-end focusing system. They've also got larger sensor pixels. So the micron size of each individual sensor pixel has gone up, so they get more light, so it focuses quicker and is better in low light conditions. Okay. It's gone to f2.2, which is a better aperture, again, more light. They were very specific about the improvements in the camera, and there's quite a few of them.
1080p video at 60 frames a second, 240 frames a second slow-mo, so that's twice as many as it currently is on the 5S. Time-lapse video, which I think is that will be in the 5S when we get iOS 8, won't it, the time-lapse?
Yeah, I think that's a software thing rather than a, because that's posted on the 5C as well, yeah, on their page.
Mm-hmm.
And on the 6 Plus, optical image stabilization.
Right, yes. this is where I start
to get... That's
where
it gets important.
Yeah, right. What difference is that going to make?
A huge amount.
A huge, huge amount. Like, I should try and get the six plus.
I notice it on cameras that I use with I've got a Blackmagic Pocket Cinema camera with a couple of Micro Four Third lenses, and one of them has optical image stabilization on it, and it's by far and away much, much better than the other ones. Certainly, when I'm using it on my drone. My aerial drone. You can completely tell the difference.
Right.
Yeah, and I was going to say, it's in low light conditions, yeah, and in motion, you're, yeah, going to notice the difference.
So when you're sort of trying to snap a picture and you get a blurry one because someone nudged you slightly or you're resting your hand out the car window or something, that will hopefully disappear.
Huh. That didn't help. I was kind of hoping you'd both be like, it will technically make a difference, but good luck spotting it in photo.
I haven't tried it because each optical image stabilization system is different, but it generally makes a difference.
Right.
I will say this, the sensor size and the amount of travel it has in a phone camera is so small that I don't think it's going to make the world of difference that it does on a, say, Micro Four Thirds camera or larger. Because obviously the more travel it has, the more it can compensate.
Of course.
But at the same time, it's got a world of motion information in there. You know, you've got the accelerometers and a whole motion processor dedicated to decoding movement signals. So it should be very accurate within the range it's got.
Okay. I think I need to see some actual tests and comparisons.
I think you need to try it out. Basically, you've got what, 3-4 months before you get the phone, Rich.
Exactly.
Rub that in.
Rub it in again. I'm fine.
This is your silver lining. This is your silver lining because you'll get to see people commenting on the OIS and saying whether it's any good or not.
Because I really don't want a 5.5-inch phone. That it's too big for me, but. If the camera is significantly better on the 6 Plus, I'm going to have to reconsider that. What's occurring to me is that when it comes to what I want to upgrade, it's not actually the phone. It's I just clearly want a better camera. Begging the question, why don't I just get a good camera? You know,
well,
instead of...
Because it's not always in your pocket.
That's true.
You would have to carry it all the time, yeah. But you could do that.
The best camera you have is the camera you have with you.
So they say. And this one pokes out the back of the phone, which is unexpected.
Slightly. I guess that's so they can sell the third party.
I'm uneasy with it, because it means the phone won't lay flat on the table, if it's okay.
Are they assuming everyone's going to get a case for it?
That is the other possibility.
I think they might be.
Yeah.
Because they did push the cases quite a bit as well, didn't they?
But then putting a case on the 6 Plus would make it even more enormous.
It's verging on... I've just had a quick look. It's verging on iPad mini territory, isn't it?
Yeah.
Almost.
What? Mm-hmm.
It is certainly the step between...
7.9.
The existing phone and the mini.
Yeah.
It's 7.9 and 5.5.
It's well up there. I don't know how I feel about it. Just because of this damn camera thing. If it wasn't for the OIS, I'd definitely not be going for the 6 Plus. What's the battery life like?
I can't find it, you know.
Add this to the list of things I should have looked up before we started.
Yeah, the battery life has been improved. I'm scrolling down.
Here we go.
Yeah.
14 hours of 3G talk time, 10 days standby, 10 hours internet use, up from 8.
Mm-hmm.
11 hours video playback, or 14 hours for the big one, up from 10. 80 hours audio playback and 50 hours.
Oh, so you're getting a lot more battery life in the big one.
Seems to be. Oh, yeah, the big one. Yeah, definitely. 24 hours talk time on 3G with the big one.
As opposed to
again, 40. These numbers need to be borne out by experience, but
yeah.
The claims are good.
Generally,
the claims are for the bigger one, the Plus versus the 6 is hugely different.
See, that's the other question. Could I live with the bigger phone to get the much better battery life?
Yeah,
how do you live at the moment?
Fine.
So what's your problem?
Well, I mean, my Galaxy Note is a 5.5 inch screen, so I'm actually used to it. But it's not for everyone.
See, I do accept that some people can live with this quite happily and even enjoy it. It's not actually a chore for everyone. It's, you know, it's fine. But I think I'm going to go with the 6. I
was really torn about this because I think it's odd that there's this 5.5 inch phone. It's not odd. I'm lying.
Yeah,
it's interesting that there's this 5.5 inch phone at the same time as the watch is announced. So the device that means you'll have to get it out of your pocket and hold it less comes along with the less wieldable phone. So it's almost as if it's a bigger phone. It's less convenient to use as a phone, but you've got a watch for reading your text messages, reading your notifications, checking the time, quickly adding an appointment. All of these little things that you're picking up your phone throughout the day for are on your wrist now. So your phone is in your pocket more. So it doesn't matter that it's bigger. And I was torn because I have an iPad mini. And I carry my iPad mini a lot. And I was thinking, well, if I had the 5.5, what if I just didn't carry the mini anymore and I did everything by headset or watch? How would that affect my life? But I'm going to wait and see what it's like to live with the watch first before I commit to a big phone, because I really don't like big phones as a concept.
We need to find out how much the watch is as well first.
$349 for the low-end one.
Well, I mean, the problem with that is...
And I don't think any of us are buying the solid gold one.
No, we're not buying the solid gold one. But we
18
don't.
Karat,
so let's imagine $50 to $100 more for the Sport, and I reckon we've got the price range.
Yeah, that seems to make sense. Carrying on with the phone before we get dragged into the watch. They've not increased the pixel density on the 6 either. They've just made the screen have more pixels, which I quite like.
Yeah.
And it seems to be a mix between scaling and pixel increase for the 6 Plus as well. So I imagine that will look very nice as well.
It's interesting. They're downscaling.
Yeah.
The way the phone, the 6 Plus works, I have a little bit of criminology conspiracy theory going on. I think they had intended to have a much higher resolution screen in the 6 Plus, and then manufacturing constraints, which we'd heard about, rumored in the last month or so, they ditched that and went for a 1080 screen that was easier to produce at the quality they wanted, and now they're software downsampling. I guarantee the S, if I'm right, will have a screen that is the native resolution that it's downsampling from.
Really?
Can you guarantee something if you think you might be right?
I can guarantee, if I am right, that will happen.
Would you be guessing the 1440 by 2560 screen size that's in, like, the LG G3? Because that is the screen size that exists right now. You can get phones with that in.
Somewhere I've got the maths of what it's being downsampled from. I would have to check that to work out what the resolution is
native. Based on software.
What I'm looking at, they're saying the 4.7 is going to be 1334 by 750, which compared to the 5S is 1136 by 640. And it's going up a teensy bit, but I don't think anyone's going to even notice the difference, really.
I think once you're over 320 ppi, I don't think you can notice any difference on a phone screen. Go ahead, Simon.
The operating system is rendering the 6 Plus screen at 1242 by 2208 pixels. So that's pretty huge.
Mm-hmm.
That is still actually...
And then that's getting downsampled to a 1080p screen. So I reckon the S will have 1242 by 2208.
That's actually smaller resolution than is in the LG G3. Which is an obscene screen, 5.5 inches,
almost 2K resolution.
Yeah,
which is what
it is very nearly.
The LG is 2K, 534 ppi, and that's in a phone you can buy right now. I think that's too much.
There's so much that your phone can or your eyes can take. And
yeah.
Then you really just can't tell.
If I can't see the pixels, why add more? Am I wrong with that? That just seems to be... That
no,
seems
you're
to
not
make
wrong.
Sense to me.
You're absolutely right. It's the optimal is to have just enough pixels that you can't tell the difference and no more. Because the greater your pixel density, the stronger the backlight needed to illuminate the display, the quicker the battery drain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And the more pixels you push, the more graphics power is required, and that uses battery life as well.
Also true.
So yeah, I've never had a problem with Apple keeping the screen density where it is.
Yeah, and I remember we were talking about all of the sapphire coating that they were going to add. They're actually not going to do it.
That was
for the watch.
Yeah, that was always going to be for the watch. Sapphire screens on or glass on watches is really nothing new. I have a sapphire glass watch that I got sort of 14 years ago or more.
Yeah, it's actually a coating that is put on the crystal itself to keep it more scratch resistant. I mean, I used to work at a company that dealt with watches, and having it say that having a sapphire display was made it more pristine. So I understand. Yeah, putting it on the watch makes more sense anyway. But there was talk all this time about putting it on the phone. But I'm glad that they're actually not doing it that way.
It doesn't say what kind. It's not Gorilla Glass, is it?
Mm-mm.
No, it's ion strengthened glass.
That's just one of those things they say. We have no idea what that means beyond knowing the intricacies of their production process. We just have to.
It
sounds impressive.
It's about exchanging the ion makeup of the glass for basically larger constituent ions to make them bond tighter and stronger. There is some science behind that I have read up on, but it's absurdly technical that you don't need to know just to know that this is a tougher display.
In other words, it's techno babble, Simon.
It is, yes. Get a screen protector, whatever.
It's a branding term for a scientific process.
Yeah.
Well, still, it sounds like techno babble to me.
There's a overload on the EPS conduits, and something needs to be bypassed.
Yeah.
I hate when that happens.
Whatever it is, there'll be a common procedure that can fix the problem but won't have a button or control panel, and things will need to be rewired, even though we'll do that thing every week. But enough about Star Trek. What else do we have here? Now, I actually thought these were the first ones to have the full sRGB standard. And they're not at all.
I don't think they are.
No, I prattled on about how good that was for about 10-15 minutes on the Techsport Rich show. Then got to the page of specs and saw they all had it. And was like, well, that was an entire waste of time then.
That's one bit I did manage to get on the live feed, and Tim Cook like really boasted about it. But I went, but I'm sure they've already got that. That's the first thing I checked out, actually, on the specs when they went live.
It's been standard for Apple for a while, but it isn't for their competitors, which is why they're still banging on about it. Okay.
I think it's a wonderful thing to have, and it gets you around. One thing I don't like with Samsung phones, and I didn't like back in the day, is their color palette for the display. It's an assault on your eyes. It's so bright and pushed. And the iPhone is much more understated. It's much more.
The Samsung is having your TV in in-store display mode,
exactly,
rather than tuned.
Mm-hmm. We have panorama pictures up to 43 megapixels. That's pretty cool. I'm just going down the spec sheet now. I haven't seen a video yet of the one-handed display mode on the 5.5. Have you heard about this? Because
that looks dumb. That looks so dumb.
They didn't cover it in the keynote at all.
Oh, yes, they did.
Did they? I need to go back.
Yeah,
and
they
watch
showed it.
Really?
I didn't get it. But
touch the Touch ID. You don't press it in. You just double touch it.
Yeah.
And the screen slides down halfway. So the top half of the screen is filling the bottom half of the phone. And the top half of the phone is empty.
I didn't get it. I really didn't get it.
Oh, I don't like that.
It's because your thumb can't reach all the way up to the top of the screen because it's too far to go.
But my thumb
also... So you double tap this button, it brings the top of the screen down. You touch something, it goes back up.
But my thumb also can't reach the left side of the screen. So bringing the top down won't necessarily help me reach everything. I know. On the note, they have a thing where it shrinks down, everything shrinks down into the corner.
Yeah, but really,
which is also silly.
I'm just saying that if you have if you're having a big phone like that, like the one I've got, you're not using one hand to begin with. You are using it like an iPad. You are using two hands with it. Sorry, my cat just got my mic. It's you don't use one hand. That's the point. But I guess they're trying to make it as, you know, fancy for people to buy as possible. So like, hey, we'll put in this extra function that you can use it with one hand. And
the more I think about it, the more we analyze this, the more I think I couldn't live with the 5.5, regardless of how good that camera is. I'm still slightly bitter that it's bigger at all. I love the size of the 5S. It fits so nice. It's like they designed it for my hand. God, when you look at all the creationists that bang on about, you know, how the size of a banana proves that we were intelligently designed because it fits in your hand.
Yep. I've joked before that I must have the same size hands as Steve Jobs because they've always said that the iPhone was designed to his hand and it fits mine perfectly.
Yeah. And so you screw with that and you've taken something away from me. But at the same time, I have found myself thinking it could be a little bigger. What I think people fail to understand if you've not used an iPhone at length is that although the screen is generally significantly smaller than your average Android phone, the content on it isn't much smaller. It's just arranged in a much more neat way and is a little bit better thought out. So having a small screen is really no problem. It never has been. But when it comes to things like photo editing and moving through larger piles of text, I can definitely see a bigger screen being an advantage. I'm starting to do a lot more photo stuff with my phone of late, and so this stuff is just grabbing my attention a bit more. If there was one thing I was slightly disappointed with, and this is nitpicking, it really is, I don't feel like they did as much as could be done to the front-facing camera. It's still a 1.2 megapixel camera with 720p HD recording. The HTC One is a 5 megapixel camera with 1080p video recording and is much nicer than the one in the 5S.
However, almost everything done with a front-facing camera is for Vine or a selfie. How good does it need to be?
I was going to say it's mainly a selfie thing now.
I want to take selfies.
No!
It happened on holiday, you know, because you sat at a table with friends and you're holding the camera up for a picture of everyone and you can just see them on the photo album. Just, oh, that's the low-resolution front-facing camera. Ah. And they've not improved it, but I'd be interested to see the spreadsheet that says how much the phone would have to cost if they put the same camera in the front as they do in the back.
Don't think it's a cost issue. They'd have to fit the same lens and sensor mount for the front-facing camera. And as we can see, they're already struggling to fit one of those in the phone without it sticking out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just curious as to the size of the unit and the cost of the unit. Because at the end of the day, I suppose, it's a camera that they make with bits that they buy from other people. So I just wonder if they could put one in there. I suppose not. But, oh well. That I'm just nitpicking, really. I think the phone's pretty much perfect. I can't really complain about any of it.
Except that the 5.5 is too big.
Yeah. But even then, that's too big for me. I'm not for a second saying they shouldn't have made it, or that anyone would be crazy to buy it. I totally understand. And as much as I would like both phones to be exactly the same spec, you can physically fit more stuff in a bigger phone, so would they have been crazy not to do that? Anything else? Does anyone want to add? I've talked about this thing so much this week.
Just on the phone?
Well, I will say this. They've thrown away one of the big advantages to developers. There is no longer consistency in screen design on iPhone.
Yeah.
Because even when you went from the original to the 5S, it was the same width. You just had to deal with variant height. Well, now it's, game over. You've got two different widths, or three different widths, three different heights. And then you've got the iPads. So four different widths, four different heights. You've got iPads and one of the phones respond differently in landscape mode to portrait mode. The other phones don't. So now you have what's being referred to in the tools as your compact and your regular mode, and it's becoming a lot more like Android in terms of laying out your interface. It's got to be fluid interface, it's got to be resizable, it's got to account for a broad variety of screens. So that consistency and predictability of interface, they've lost that. It's gone away. We have now got a fractured market.
I hadn't really thought about that. I see what you mean.
How well have they implemented the tools to allow a developer to do a layout?
It was terrible until the latest Xcode release, the one that's coming alongside iOS 8. The latest one, the Goldmaster I've got hold of, improves things significantly, but it's still far from ideal. It's going to take another iteration of the tools to really get that right, and it's going to take a lot of relearning for developers to be able to use them properly.
Okay. Are we going to see this being a bit of a mess for a little while before people get the hang of it?
I think so. Yeah, you're going to see a lot of apps that are not updated and are just using this clever rescaling for a good long while, I think.
Right. I'm trying to remember how it was when the 5 came out. Because that's when I jumped on board the iPhone bandwagon. And I don't ever remember there being... Mind you, as we've learned, I didn't get the phone till January. So maybe by then, in the sort of 4 or 5 months while it had been out, developers had a chance to update apps. I don't remember coming across many apps at all that didn't fill the iPhone 5 screen.
I have some that still don't. I know Skype was extremely late to the party in that one, much to my annoyance.
Very late.
HSBC are worse. They still haven't.
Really? There's a few like remote control apps for various things like my Sony TV that don't quite fill the screen.
They do a thing where they say anyone updating or releasing a new app after whatever date must have this thing in. They bring that in eventually, don't they?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why some of these apps just never get updated.
Yeah. Mind you, I can see how that happens. You just build an app and just forget about it. It seems easily done to me. I don't think we can reasonably expect everybody to update every app they ever make. Some will become all but pointless as apps, won't they, in their lifespan? So,
arguably, some already are.
Yeah, exactly. Some come out pointlessly. Yeah, I'm sold. I'm going to get the 6. On a 3 all you can eat, shit, that's £55 a month. Oh, that's
it depends how much you pay up front, you know. If you pay a certain amount up front, your monthly tariff goes down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now looking at the 64 gig iPhone 6 on an all-you-can-eat data plan, £50 a month, £99 upfront cost.
That sounds what I was quoted. Yeah, something like that.
That's not bad.
The only other thing that we haven't mentioned is things like the Apple Pay NFC.
Yeah, I think the Apple Pay is a great idea.
Oh, you're the first person I've spoken to that will be able to use it.
Really?
Well, it's US only for now.
Oh, okay, I see. Oh, I thought you guys were getting it too. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think that's actually why we've subconsciously glossed over
it. We will eventually.
Yeah, I have every faith it will eventually come out here. But not at launch.
Well, we've been talking about this on and off for a while, you know, moving away from having actual physical credit cards in your wallet, like Nick with all his credit cards. But yeah, I think it's a great idea, and it also is safer, especially if you lock your phone. That gives you more reason to lock your phone, of course. But you don't have to carry your credit cards in your wallet anymore.
The
US, have it all on your phone.
The US is slightly dragging behind a lot of other places in terms of payment methods.
True,
which surprised me. I mean, when we went to Vegas last year, just this idea that I paid for something in a shop with my card, and the woman at the counter wanted to take my card off me and swipe it, and I had to.
Yeah,
I had to sign the
still
thing.
Do that.
I know, yeah. Signing is such a weird thing. Like, yeah. I don't think all my cards have my signature on it, so I'd hand it over and they go, "Your signatures are not on here."
Yeah,
well, why would it be?
This is true. I actually don't put my signature on mine. I actually say, put on the back, I say, see photo ID, please, on mine. I put that on all my credit cards.
Right. Yeah, you guys need NFC. I'm a little also...
Yeah, we were watching the live stream and they did the little demo video of the problems with paying now. And I guess some of my colleagues haven't been to the States recently because they showed the video of them trying to swipe the card. And there was this, what? Why are they showing them swiping a card? And I'm like, well, in the States, that's how you pay for a lot of things still, guys. That's a real problem they have.
It's at the point over here where I like to play, what do they call it over here? The touch pay thing.
Yeah, the touch. Yeah, you just touch.
What's
the,
it called?
Yeah, I forget what it's called too.
Contactless.
Contactless, thank you.
I
like to play contactless roulette.
Really?
So I just touch my wallet against it and see which card it gets charged.
Oh my God.
I wouldn't play that game if I were you because
what
the answer
it
very
more
well
than
might
one?
Be both of them.
Yeah,
both?
I was going to say, he's
you didn't
got
listen
a bunch.
Last week, did you?
Yeah, he's got a bunch.
No, I didn't. Sorry.
Eight
all
credit
five
cards.
Of them. There we go. Oh, eight of them. Yeah. It could charge more than one.
Yeah, there's some problem.
That legitimately has happened to people. So
really?
Be careful about that. Yes.
Yeah, see, that's...
It's especially a problem with the tube if you use it to get on the bus.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
do the
I believe it.
There.
I believe it.
That will charge all of them.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Because they like doing that.
Yeah, but there's very few places here in the States that use the touch system. McDonald's is one of them that I've seen, personally. There are a few other places, like some of the bigger department store chains that I don't go to, like, I go to Macy's, but there's a few others that I'm pretty sure have it that I don't go to. But it's not common practice over here. You still swipe, you still sign. So moving to Apple Pay, and after, I'd see within 5 years, it'll be more common. But for right now, it's only select chains that do it. They did say that McDonald's, obviously, because it's McDonald's, will be one of the first ones to use it. So I think it'll be a good, at least, like you say, we'll catch up to you guys. But
it's actually, I think it's actually getting bigger and bigger over here all the time.
Yeah.
And anything under £20, I think in most supermarkets, you can use contactless. I don't even remember. I think convenience stores don't necessarily have it because they're, you know, you have to invest in a contactless card system.
A lot of them do in London, in Central.
Yes,
it's gotten to the point now where I have been caught by a shopkeeper just giving me an odd look and going, it's not contactless. And it's like, I'm now surprised when I can't do that.
Yeah,
as opposed to surprised when I can.
In bigger towns, it's a lot of convenience stores do have it. And I've done the same where they've got, some of them have got the machines, but it's not enabled on that machine. So it has like the little lights that light up at the top, but the machine's not enabled.
I've even done it to a machine that looks like it should be contactless because it had a nice flat surface area for me to touch the card to. And they're just looking at it. It's, in no way is that a wireless charge, mate. You just put the card in. And I'm like, oh, sorry.
I need some better bank cards because I've got one card that does it. And I think it's broken.
Hmm.
Yeah.
How old is the card?
Pardon?
How old is the card?
A couple of years now, I think. It's actually a PayPal card.
Oh, wow.
It's not even a bank card. Yeah, you can get a MasterCard that is linked to your PayPal account from PayPal.
Yeah, yeah. I knew that, but I would have thought PayPal would have been at the forefront.
Oh, they are. They're way ahead of my actual bank.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah, my actual bank card is just a chip and PIN card.
Okay, I'm looking at the list here. This says
me, the most...
Sorry, Simon, go ahead.
I was going to say, to me, the most interesting thing and exciting thing about Apple Pay as a system is that it's tokenized, which they taught us through that. What that means is that each time you use it, the signal that is sent from you to the merchant is a one-time use thing.
Yeah, I think that's a brilliant idea.
At no point will a merchant have your payment details stored. And if that is intercepted, it's no use to anyone. So it's actually far more secure than current contactless cards.
I think it's a brilliant idea. It means indeed, that
if you are shopping at Target or something like that, then they won't have a load of your credit card details for people to steal.
I think it's it adds potential as well for using it for more expensive transactions. Because I think banks have limited...
And for online purchases.
Yeah, I think banks have limited the amount of money over here that you can have in a transaction for contactless to £20 just because they don't want to insure against it, basically.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I would like to see that figure
get
slightly higher.
But the demo was shown. Yeah, but it is an insurance issue. But with Apple Pay, I can see them upping the limit. But they also showed the demo of purchasing within an app or within a website on the iPhone using Apple Pay. Because it's, again, you're not sending your credit card details over the internet. You're sending a one-time use transaction code. This is really, really good news.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that you can pay with a thumbprint. And it does mean that there might be a relaxation of the current restriction that you can't use. You can't do in-app purchases for real-life goods on the iPhone or the iPad. As we know, when Amazon put out the Kindle app on iPhone or Audible or Comixology, there's no store because of Apple's... that's in-app purchases. That's a different restraint.
Yeah, that was a different
But
one.
For, say, eBay or Amazon itself, real-life goods, you couldn't use in-app purchasing. Could use Apple Pay. So maybe those kind of apps will become more useful.
How about we get to the watch then?
Yeah, let's get to the watch. This was one of those lose your shit moments. I was literally jumping up and down squealing like a really, really sad Apple fanboy. Oh, it was good. Oh, it was good. It's well worth a watch.
I need to watch this then.
You do.
So I know next to nothing about the watch. I haven't read much about it.
Who wants to do the watch? I just ran down the phone thing. Someone else do the watch. Simon, do you want to do the watch?
I can do the watch.
Do the watch.
Okay, so this is very much Tim's moment. This is the first product coming out of Apple that is Tim Cook's product. I think that's fair to say. And it was introduced with, for us sad Apple fanboys, the One More Thing announcement.
There was clapping in our house.
It got me. I don't know. In your house? Oh, that's fairly impressive. There was a lot in the Flint Center.
Yes.
It pretty much got a standing ovation, I think.
I just liken it when they do that. It's kind of, and I don't know why the music, the pop star that comes to mind when I think of this is always Bryan Adams, because I hate Bryan Adams. But I imagine that if you're a Bryan Adams fan and at a Bryan Adams concert, there will come a moment in that night where it'll just start playing the opening riff to Summer of 69 and the whole place will go fucking mental. You can imagine that, can't you? That I guarantee that happens at every Bryan Adams gig, and if it doesn't, you want your damn money back.
Well, I think of Pantera with Walk. That's what I think of.
That's much cooler than my one. But that was what happened when Tim said, "We've got one more thing." It was that guitar riff that just sent everyone mad. Because we knew what was coming, but you said it. You made it a thing, and you made it an Apple thing, and that was wonderful. I loved it.
Well, we've been speculating them doing
on the showman.
Yeah, but we've been speculating they do a wearable for a while now, and they finally made that fact.
Absolutely. So tell us about it, Simon. Sorry for interrupting you.
Oh, no problem. First thing you notice, it is square. It is not a round watch. It's not a Moto 360 shaped watch. It is basically the iPod Nano watch that kicked the whole wearables craze off, I think. It's when that watch strap was announced for the Nano, that's when the Pebble got started, and that's sort of where this all began. And they've kept with that as their inspiration, if you ask me. It's about the same size, about the same look, apart from the digital crown. Now, the crown is the little round dial on the side of your watch that you use to change the time and possibly wind it if you've got that kind of a watch. It's also, of course, possible that you've never worn a watch in your life and you have no idea what I'm talking about. But it's a little reference back to watch design. And it's a little acknowledgement that a watch on your wrist is not a phone. The screen is very different, so it needs a little bit of physical control. And I'll tell you, that was the first moment when everyone, because I watched this with my colleagues at work, everyone sort of sat up and took notice. In the intro video, you see them turn the dial and it's a zoom on the screen. And it's a really nice little touch. So it's got reference to watch design. But other than that, it's pretty much exactly what you'd expect. It's a 320 by 320 square touchscreen on your wrist that ties up with your phone and gives you all of the Apple goodness and more. On the back of it, this is the bit that I found really impressive. It's got basically cameras. I believe they're IR cameras. I know they're not visible light spectrum.
Yeah.
But they take your heart rate.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a heart rate monitor watch as well, which coupled with your phone that's got the barometer in it that's calculating elevation and motion. It's got motion in it as well. They have really played heavy on the fitness, as we thought they would.
Yeah, I believe the back of the phone also has skin contact sensors.
The watch does.
Sorry, yeah, because that's how they're working security with Apple Pay.
That's right. You put it on. You put in your code to unlock it, and then Apple Pay will work until it loses contact with your skin.
Very clever.
That's very cool.
It really is. One so much.
It's so much better than Google's option, which is on Google, if you want to authorize the payment each time, so you have to put in your code each time and launch the wallet app to do it. This will just be a contactless sensor until you disable it or take the watch off.
I have to say,
really nice.
Pretty early on, I think this has made Android Wear look toyish. I think this is they've been well and truly appled. It's the design of the watch has made every Android Wear watch look like a shitty piece of plastic, and this Watch OS has absolutely dumped on Apple on Android Wear. I'm using this as a new barometer for who should be listened to or not, and it's the people who are like, oh, it's ugly, it's not as good as the LG G watch. It's like, really? Then you're not worth listening to anymore. Because you're clearly an idiot. It's so nice. I always said if they gave me a Find My iPhone feature strapped to my wrist, that would be enough. And they did that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sold. But they did more than that, because they're putting an Apple TV remote on it. And that's
they are?
Making
oh, wow.
me giggle.
Oh, no.
So I will have an Apple TV.
That was remote. One of the features hinted at as there's more to come. You know, Tim was like, some of my colleagues enjoy using it to control their Apple TV. And when he was hinting at all the other things it does that they hadn't talked about. So yeah. there's more to come with this.
It's on, well, that's on the website. In the, where are we, features section. I should point out their website for the phone, for the watch. God, get it right, Richard. The watch bit of the website is totally different in appearance to the rest of the website. This is a fashion design website.
Yeah.
Meant to display an item that you wear. They have done this so well and so right. They've designed a thing that you want to wear, and then what it does is kind of a bonus. Something that all the Android watches are sorely lacking. But there is an Apple TV remote listed as one of the functions, and that just gets me very excited. Find My iPhone.
I'm pretty sure there will be more functions. This is a product still in development. We've seen a preview of something that they're still working on. So before it comes out, there will be more announcements. They might be subtle. They might just get added to this page. They might get press released. But there's going to be little bits and pieces they've yet to tell us.
Yeah, I think that's also why we didn't see anything with regards to battery life. The rumor is that they feel that there's still a lot of work to be done in that area. And so they don't want to talk about it right now when it's not as good as it could potentially be come early next year.
I have a question regarding Siri on the Apple Watch.
Okay.
And that is... is it processed locally, or does it need to be connected to your phone to work?
I would imagine, and I don't know this for fact, but I would imagine that works via the phone.
That's what I thought.
Siri has always needed a connection. It might do dictation locally, so if you're just sketching off a text message or something, but that needs pairing to the phone anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do need the phone, but there wasn't... It seemed to do a whole lot on its own.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, one thing I found very interesting that was just glossed over, and I wondered if there was a sort of, damn, I shouldn't have said that moment afterwards, when the guy was demoing the music control features, and he just let it out with the whole, and you can use this and it can control the music on your phone or your iPod or your... iTunes on your computer or any music stored on the phone, on the watch. Okay. And I was like, whoa, hang on. You said music stored on the watch. What, that you're
in? No, they've got that on the website.
Have they?
Cause it's on the website. Control the music on iPhone without taking it out of your pocket. And when you leave iPhone at home to go for a jog, listen to music directly on Apple Watch.
Right.
It's the iPod Nano, isn't it?
So, yeah, this implies some sort of...
It is. Yep.
A large amount of local storage. Not just a sort of minimal...
Not a huge amount. It's probably not going to be... It's going to be an iPod Shuffle in there, I think. You'll have four gig.
Yeah, I would have said
4 to 8 gig.
Hmm.
Yeah, maybe 200 songs max.
It just implied that there would...
Enough to get a workout playlist on there.
You're going to put enough storage on there that I feel comfortable putting music on it. So, you know, we're even assuming that I'm not going to load it too much with apps. What?
It's the sort of thing that you're going to listen to on a journey. It's not. We're not talking like 3 days worth of music, are we? We're talking about a journey on the tube or a journey, like even a plane flight.
Or a gym really. Session.
Yeah, or a gym mm-hmm. session, exactly, for those of us that way inclined. But it's not your music collection. It's playlists that you sync to it, basically.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't think that...
An audiobook.
I didn't think that it would be like a 128 gig music jukebox kind of thing, but... Which one day it will be, and that will be the future then. Remote camera for the iPhone. That looks pretty cool.
That's clever.
The shutter control and the viewfinder there.
Particularly the viewfinder, I think, is a clever idea.
Yeah. I do like the taptic feedback idea, that it feels like someone tapping you on the wrist, and how it can do that in... can actually do it in different places, apparently. So it can tap you in
different... Yes, apparently it can give you recognisably different gestures.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm really looking forward to, because one of the things I find living in London is I'm always using maps to get from one place to the other, because I live in a sprawling labyrinthine maze of a city, and everything's always down a back street. And you just, whenever you're walking around with your head in your phone looking at a map, you think,
"Sorry,
I look like an idiot who doesn't belong here."
Yeah.
Whereas now we can just look like impatient idiots.
Yeah,
there you go. You don't even need to look at your watch, because that's
the
point.
Yes, that's true. Yeah,
tap on the wrist that says turn left, and one that says turn right, and one that says go straight on. So you're getting directions silently, subtly. No one knows that you're being guided, so you don't look like a tourist. I think that's amazing. And also, as I've become a bit of a cyclist recently, the idea that I can not look at a GPS but still get directions, that's fantastic.
Did you see that episode of Derren Brown where he tried to get someone to lead him through Venice to a particular location? It's a bit like that.
No.
It was one of the ones he did that didn't work. Don't watch it. It will ruin the illusion forever. Anyway. Where were we? Photo. I remain skeptical about photos, but hey, why not put them on there? I like that while the choice of watch face is vast, that they don't seem totally caught up in the skeuomorphic design of having it look like a watch face. You know, you can change the layout, you can customize what clocks you're seeing and all kinds of different things. And rather interestingly, there's no battery indicator at all.
Well, these are also just drawings. They're not physical yet. So they may have just not put a bit, just like you were talking about, that they're not talking about the battery life yet. They may have purposely left that off for the time being.
That's true. Yeah, we'll see how the battery life goes. I expect to get a day out of it. That's kind of the
and that's what they've been saying behind the scenes, apparently, is at the moment it's about a day.
I can live with charging it at night. I can live with that. I think.
Yeah, because most windable watches, like automatics, you can probably get a day or two out of them anyway.
Mm.
So that's not much of a difference, really.
Yeah,
that's an interesting thing that no one's really discussed, is whether they could include some sort of kinetic charging in a device like this.
That would be nice.
I had wondered. I suppose it depends on the...
It adds space. It takes room away from the battery, because the kinetic winders are not small. And the amount of power it needs to add to clockwork is very, very small. The amount of power it needs to add to a 320 by 320 LCD display is comparatively quite large. I think you'd rather have the battery where you would put the winder.
Fair enough.
I don't know. They may add one later because, you know, watch snobs, they may want a kinetic one. I mean, Seiko's done a digital kinetic watch. So, I mean, heck, they could talk to Seiko if they really want.
They have, but it's not a full screen Bluetooth enabled, Wi-Fi enabled, GPS enabled motion sensing.
Well, true, but I'm just saying it is possible. Yeah, the watch will be thicker, but some people may not mind that.
I'd like one with one of those spring winder things with the handle. That'd be great. Just an hour of winding your digital crown will get you a nanosecond of power. it just depends on how what kind of power output they can get from such things. I had wondered, actually. But, yeah, obviously it's written off as an idea. I love that it's got Passbook on it and Apple Pay. This is going to make life so much easier. I am concerned that we have removed a barrier between me and the chicken legend. But...
I thought that was a legendary story about a chicken, but then I realized you're talking about KFC.
Yeah. No, yeah. McDonald's.
Oh, McDonald's, sorry.
It's like, yeah, I don't always have my wallet with me, and maybe sometimes that is a good thing. You know? It might even get me moving more. I like the activity app that's always running.
I like that it's a suggestive one. Yeah, achievement one. I mean, I think gamers love achievements for weird reasons.
Everybody does. It's a serotonin release or a dopamine thing. Mm-hmm. It's you're a rat in a maze getting a treat.
Exactly. And I think it might actually help people get moving, as Richie just said.
This just can't come quickly enough.
I'm salivating to get hold of WatchKit as well.
I bet.
Which is the set of tools to actually develop straight to the watch, because I want to know what it can do.
Yeah. Hmm. I was actually trying to think about what would you do with, like, a simply syndicated app. I couldn't think of anything. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I don't know what...
Couldn't think of anything for Simply Syndicated, no. But no. I'm working on a game, just sort of from time to time, that is mostly driven by where you are in the world. So it sort of plays itself in the background as you move around the world.
Oh, that'd be cool.
The interaction with the game comes from notifications that you respond to. So you need to do something at this spot. Okay. I'll do whatever that is. Now, I was thinking, this doesn't need to be on a phone necessarily. That message could come to you on your wrist, and you could respond to it on your wrist.
There you go.
So I'm really intrigued to see what you can do, how much functionality the watch has on its own.
I should also point out, it does work for left-handed people.
Yes.
Yeah, because you can turn it upside down.
So instead of having the crown at the top and the button at the bottom, you have the crown at the bottom and the button at the top.
Well done there.
It's as simple as that. It does work for left-handed people. The idea that they hadn't thought about that is fairly ridiculous. Mm.
So anyway, yeah, to sum up the watch, I can't get this quick enough. I did a show with Ian and Ari about it last... when was it? Thursday. And their response was, shut up and take my money. And that was just saying it to me.
Yeah. I mean, it's got a lot to it that is worth getting.
I think they've definitely won the wearable space for now.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, when I first saw the look of it, I said, it looks like the wrist communicators from Star Trek, the motionless picture, except you don't put it on the inside of your wrist. You put it on the outside of your wrist. Because they had it on the inside.
Put it
of
on the inside if you want.
Yeah.
Well, true, you could, but most people don't wear their watch at this. I know a few people that wear their watch that way, and I think they're weird. But hey, but yeah, that was when I saw the oblong design of it. That's the first thing I thought of was the wrist communicator from Star Trek: The Motion Picture.
We should point out it does have a walkie-talkie feature. So Simon, you've got your Dick Tracy watch.
That's right.
Awesome.
I know. I'm so happy about that. And as someone who has been known to wear his watch on the inside of his wrist, I will tell you, it is clumsy people who are wearing their watch on the inside of their wrist, because we'd rather have the buckle scratched than the watch.
Makes sense.
You're still weird, but...
That's not for that reason.
I'm not weird, I'm clumsy. Well, no, I am weird, but I'm also clumsy.
Well, I think that the watch will come in Apple Watch Sport and Apple Watch Edition ranges.
Yeah, they just said early 2015, so yeah. It could be January, it could be March, we don't know.
It never occurred to me that the sport one would be more expensive than the not sport one. Of course, the edition one is going to cost a small fortune. Do you think
it
will
be? Do we know the differences yet?
No, there are no differences, just what they're made of.
Oh.
Everybody gets the same functionality. You pay more for...
a colour band or gold.
Yeah. Because that's
the cheapest one then, thank you.
Exactly. Well, that's what it's about. It's about creating a fashion item.
What they're made of makes... there's intangible differences. The sport one, because it's made of a different compound of aluminium, will be slightly tougher and a fair bit, although, I mean, we haven't got a weight spec yet, but it should be lighter. They're making it of a... it's a compound that is tougher and lighter.
More comfortable on your wrist when running, so the metal doesn't, you know, rub against your wrist or whatever.
So they might even do a titanium
version. Well, the bands are interchangeable. Mm-hmm. The bands are interchangeable, so you could have a plastic band to wear whilst running, and you could have a link bracelet if you wanted to wear it out. But it's going to be the watch head itself should be a little bit lighter and a little bit tougher, which I'm probably going to get, because I'm going to wear this on my bike, I'm going to wear this in the gym, and as I might have mentioned, I'm clumsy. So the idea of having a tougher one and a lighter one appeals.
I can understand that. I'm not much of a gold wearer as it is, so I'm not too concerned that I probably won't be able to afford the 18-karat gold version.
It's there for people who want
it. Which comes in its own jewellery box presentation case that is also the charger.
Very nice. Very
makes
nice.
Sense.
Yeah. I think it looks gorgeous. It really does look nice, but I'm fair-skinned. Fair-skinned people shouldn't wear gold.
Or go out in the sun.
Interesting. The first time I saw it at the display, on the live stream, I thought, oh, that's not as pretty as I'd hoped. It's square. It's kind of chunky. And by the end of the live stream, I was thinking, that's an attractive watch. I would wear that. It's amazing how quickly they reprogrammed me.
It's interesting how they have yellow gold and rose gold as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually like rose gold a lot better.
Maybe that would be better for me as a fair-skinned, soulless person.
Fair-skinned vampire.
Yeah. Oh, I like so much about this. I have nothing bad to say about it. Other than it will be a lot of money for a phone that will be replaced for a watch. Why is wrong with me today? For a watch that is replaced in a year.
Yeah, that's the other thing, isn't it?
That is the thing I'm wondering is, what is going to be the upgrade cycle of this thing, and how compelling are the upgrades going to be?
I can see us moving to maturity pretty quickly, but in leaps and bounds. So I think maybe the next one will have a big chunk better battery life, that sort of thing. In terms of functionality, it almost seems to be there. I wouldn't want them to try and do something like stick a camera on it or anything like that. It seems to be... I can't see there being a need for anything more graphic intensive than what is already there.
What's interesting to me is, what does the watch do on its own and what does it do with a phone? Because that's where you can win out. If, for example, it's reliant on the phone's barometer to do altitude checks, then one thing they could do is move the barometer onto the watch. You haven't changed the functionality at all, but when you leave your iPhone behind, you get more out of the watch on its own.
I find that concept of leaving your iPhone behind,
things become
quite odd.
Yeah, I don't.
It's not even for long periods of time, but I leave my phone on my desk charging when I'm at work. And because lately it's been my fitness monitor, when I get up and walk around at work, that's not getting recorded in any particular way. With the watch, hopefully it will be.
Well, I think we can call time on this, because we've been going ages and I think we've covered everything there is to cover.
Okay, we do have mail.
And there's a question from Buzz who will shoot us all if we don't answer it, because it's in the chat room.
He will.
And
it's one for you, Rich, joined probably. Us to talk to us.
Yes.
Okay, go for it. I can't find the chat room.
He said...
basically, I think it's going to be a question about bouncing, because it's the problem I had, where he's hit the size limit for bouncing out an entire show.
Ah.
Which is strange, because I didn't think Logic did have a limit for bouncing.
It's not the app, it's the file size of the file format. It's not the actual app itself that has the issue. the best way around it is to export at a lower bitrate. What you need to do is get the actual...
Or indeed to change from PCM to CAF as the file format for the initial stage of the bounce.
Yeah.
And then you can encode to any size MP3 you want.
That's pretty much it. It won't let me.
You have to tick the box to select a PCM bounce as well as the MP3 and then go into it and change the settings. It's an annoying one to work out the first time because it's completely counterintuitive, but it did work eventually.
Yeah, just fiddle with settings, you'll get it. But it's a format file size limit, it's not Logic's problem.
Is that because you're exporting to a WAV or an AIFF or what?
Yeah.
Yes, it's initially it exports uncompressed and then compresses that to make the MP3. And some uncompressed formats have a file size limit.
Okay, fine. He said that seems to
work. And apparently it works.
There you go. Putting out fires all over the place. Do we have actual mail, though?
We do.
Hang on. Yeah, I flagged this. Hang on. I've got it. Hello. I've got one. I'm going to start off. Hello, Rich, Nick and Jen, and also Simon, he's here. If you're not too busy with iPhone chat, we've done it now. I have a few. What he seems to do is he wants to make an iOS app and he has no idea where to start.
That's good for Simon to answer.
Well, if you've got a Mac.
You need a Mac.
Have a Mac.
No prior knowledge whatsoever. He's starting absolutely from scratch.
Fair enough. It's a good place to start. You need to have a Mac. If you want to develop for iOS, that is a requirement. If you want to develop for Android, you can have any computing platform. It's all Java. That's great. But Apple, because they love proprietary, so if you want to make something for our phone, you've got to have one of our computers. Or a computer running our operating system.
He says he has a Mac available to him.
Awesome. In that case, go to the App Store and search for Xcode. That is literally X stuck on the front of the word code. And that is your development environment that you need. Download that, file, new project, and choose one of the types of iOS application. You've got a working application. Doesn't do anything, but it will compile and run. You also have downloaded the documentation, but you can also get that from Apple. Just search iOS developer documentation. You can also download a little app called Dashcode, I think it is, which is a third-party app that just collates all of this stuff. And it has lots of examples of projects and code to explain how to get started. But you'll probably also want to find some tutorials written for beginners. Ray Wenderlich writes good ones that are available for free on his website. I'm not going to try and spell it. I think it's spelled as it sounds. But there's several of them available online, and there's a few good books, you know, Objective-C for beginner type things. Or these days, you might want to look at sort of getting started Swift tutorials and get in on the ground floor of a whole new language. But ultimately, have a Mac, download Xcode. You've got the documentation in the package with Xcode. That is actually everything you need to get started. But tutorials are good.
Awesome. It is doable. It can seem daunting, but it is doable. So I wish you the very best of luck with that. I think that is everything for today, isn't it?
There's a couple more emails, but we could probably do them next week.
Yeah. I was going to say, let's do them next week.
Yeah, because that... All right. One is basically, what is Bitcoin? And I'm going to be honest, I don't fucking know. I don't.
The answer is maths.
Yeah. I think if you can still ask that question, it's not for you yet. That's where I've come to with it. It's not for me. Bitcoin, it's for other people. People who like Linux. Anyway, if you have an email question you'd like to send us, the email address is techitorleaveit@simplysyndicated.com. You can get us on SoundCloud and simplysyndicated.com. We're all over the place. There's lots of ways to contact us. Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr. All that sort of thing. We'll see it all, and maybe Jen will get the emails from time to time.
Yes. I actually do get the emails now, so yay!
It's all good. So next week we can cover all the news that happened this week that wasn't Apple news, and all the stuff that happens between now and next week, which is going to be exciting. We're back in a period of stuff actually happening, and it's so very exciting. So thank you for listening, everybody, and thank you for being here, everybody.
Yeah.
It was good to have us all together, although Skype's a fucking nightmare. maybe Google next time. Anyway, catch you later, everyone. Bye-bye.